Skopje so we can invite a bunch of friends. And looking forward to a great Christmas holiday Advent season. Lord, I come. I bow my knee, and in you I find rest and find peace. So what we're talking about this morning is peace. We started off this book of Ephesians a few months ago. We started in the first verse where it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, and he says to them, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you have been paying attention the last few weeks about what the big word was that we were talking about? Mark preached it last week. I was the week before that. What word? Either grace or peace. Yeah, our guest who wasn't even here figured it out. Grace, yes. The last 2 weeks, we've been talking about grace. That's right. By grace, we are saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, so that no one can boast. That was last week. So Paul started off this whole book with those two words. Grace and peace in God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've spent the first part of chapter 2 talking about grace. Now we're coming up to this word, peace. But both of these words that we're looking at in Ephesians chapter 2 are actually trying to explain something that Paul was working on and explaining to the people. He says in the prayer in chapter 1, he prays that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened so we can know this hope to which we've been called. So part of what this means for us to be enlightened is to understand what grace is and what hope is. If we can understand these two big words, Paul is telling us we're going to have a pretty good grasp of what God is doing in our lives, what God is doing around us, and be changing and transforming who we are. Grace and peace to you, and God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning we're coming up into chapter 2, and we're looking at this idea of peace. So the title this morning is War and Peace, because we actually have a bunch of hostility that we have to get through before we understand what this peace is that God is offering us in these chapters. I've got to figure out how to keep my tablet alert. Technology is not my friend. Let's look this morning, starting off in verses 11 and 12 here. Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision that is performed on the body by human hands, that you were at that time without the Messiah, alienated from citizenship of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. The word that stands out here at the beginning is remember. Remember. We're supposed to be remembering our past, where we came from, what we were like, what was going on before all of this. Now, the interesting thing to note is that when we are talking about the need for grace, that we were sinners, that Paul doesn't have to tell them to remember that. It's pretty obvious, you know. We need grace because of the sin that's happening in our lives and we were separated from God. But in this section, he starts off with this reminder of where we come from. Remember. And then he fills it in with all these reasons here. We were alienated from the people of God. Now we have to take this back again to Ephesians, to Ephesus, the place in Turkey where Paul is writing to these people here. The people who have come to know God, Paul himself being a Jew and these people being Gentiles, and reminding them of the alienation, that they were enemies with each other as people. He's reminding them of the fact that there was a time when they didn't like each other. In fact, there probably was still some animosity among some Jews and Gentiles in his time. But the reason for this animosity is because God had chosen the Israelites. God had chosen to put upon his people, through Abraham, blessings. And through Abraham would come salvation, would come hope, would come what God wanted for the world to have. The problem was the Gentiles did not end up hearing about this through the Jews. The Jews became inward focused. They lost their mandates for the nations to see in them what God was doing. And so as we're looking here, there's this animosity that is being drawn out and presented to us. We were without everything. Socially alienated from the people that God was giving the promises through, a state of alienation there, and alienated from God himself. The temple. place in Israel where the Jews went, where God's presence was found, where God's presence was manifested in some special way. The temple. The place where the world was supposed to come and see that the living God was present amongst his people. This was what the Jews who were living in Ephesus, the Jews that were living in Rome, were supposed to be telling people about, and then bringing Gentiles to see and hear and know the living God. But because of distance, there was alienation, but more than that, because the Gentiles were clueless about what God wanted from them. They didn't know his commandments. They didn't know that God had requirements for them, and they were alienated. So we start off with this big problem, that Paul is reminding the Gentiles of all this background information. They weren't like the Jews. They didn't have a Messiah. They didn't have promises. In fact, they didn't have hope. Didn't have God. They had many gods, they didn't have God. And this is the state of anxiety or angst that we find ourselves in this morning. And as we see that, let's just stop a moment and ask God to show us what he's doing here that brings us this peace. Father, we do come into your presence this morning and recognize that your scriptures, your words to us this morning are powerful. We're reminded that it's all about you, the living God. That you, through Paul and through these words that we have from him today, have been explained and given grace and peace. And it comes through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Lord God, open our eyes to what you're doing. And as Paul prayed, illuminate our hearts that we can see with our hearts what it is that we have been given. Use my words. Just use our time together to help us to see who you are. The living God, creator God, the loving God. In Jesus' name, amen. You remember a time in your life when you were alienated? I look around this room and in some sense all of us are aliens, right? We're not very many of us Macedonian citizens. We're aliens. We're people who are living here, passing through. Maybe camped out for a while. Maybe here for just a short term, we're expats. That means we're aliens. We don't belong here necessarily according to our documents. We're here for a reason. Now, growing up, I was a Navy brat. That means my dad was military. He moved every couple of years. I've shared that before. But that meant that I was always an alien in school, the stranger, the guy that got picked on. And I still remember moving in junior high to Minnesota. First of all, I was mocked by the teachers because I still had my southern hospitality. He said, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. And the teacher would stop class and say, are you mocking me, son? No, sir. Looking back, I probably would have, but at the moment, I was naive. But I also remember lunch period where I didn't know better than when somebody threw food at me that I shouldn't really throw it back, which ended up going out to the hallway and getting pushed into a locker and beat on a little bit. Alienated. Because I didn't fit. I was the oddball out. I was the one alienated. We face that in life in lots of different ways, whether it's at school growing up with the bullies, whether it's at work as we go, whether it's a new country that we're moving into, we're alienated. Now, alienation is something that's hard to overcome. It takes time, it takes relationship, but it leaves us in this period of transition that's very, very difficult. So we're talking about, in one sense, that kind of alienation from people, from one another, the Jews and the Gentiles, the people in Ephesians with the people in Jerusalem, us and people around us. Alienation is something I think we resonate with. We go through it, we face it, and we wrestle with it. But the tragedy in these verses is the alienation that we have with God. Paul's using the relationship of the Jews and the Gentiles, but the deeper, stronger meaning here that he's getting to is the fact that all of this means that we are alienated from God. There was this path that the Jews were showing, wasn't very clear, but we were alienated from God as the root of our problem. It means we don't know him. We don't know how to get to him. We don't understand what he's expecting of us. We were alienated from God because we didn't have, as Gentiles, access to who King David was, or Abraham, or these promises of God's blessings through him. We were alienated. We were strangers to what God had been doing to this point. And so because we were alienated from God, there's also this lack of hope. But it's not just alienation that we're looking at here as problem. Being strangers is one thing. What goes on in the next verse is that we are also alienated. We are also hostile, hostility. Reading on in verse 13 to the end. But now in Christ Jesus, you who used to be far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. The one who made both groups into one and who destroyed the middle wall of partition, the hostility. When he nullified in his flesh the law of the commandments and decrees. He did this to create in himself one new man out of two, thus making peace. And to reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by which the hostility has been killed. And he came and preached to you who were far off and peace to those who were near, so that through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. The word that comes out to me as we're reading through this is beyond the fact that we are alienated from God is this hostility. It's a bigger picture. There's hostility that we have between us and other people, and there's this hostility that we have towards God. Scripture tells us that if we love the world, we actually hate God. So that's from our side. If we love the things of this world, we hate God. We hate things that are about him. Now, hostility comes in lots of different ways. Hostility can be just the simple road rage that people face as they're going through life. And it could be, I think we have a picture of this, including the Movember. There we go. Here's one form of hostility that we face. When we're driving down the road, especially here in Skopje, and people cut you off, or they go too slow, or they park in the middle of the street and they leave you just sitting there. This is one form that hostility takes. It's not the worst form, but hostility in this sense is something that just causes that anger, that resentment, and action to do something and to overcome whatever obstacle is in front of us. And this is the hostility that comes up between people at work, people at school, people around us, hostility. But there's also here this hostility towards God. And God's hostility, not towards us, but God's hostility towards sin. God's hostility towards unrighteousness. Scripture tells us that because of idolatry, the wrath of God is coming. We'll get to that later on in this book of Ephesians. The wrath of God is coming. So, hostility between us and God because we love the things of this world, something that we got from Adam and Eve in the very beginning, because of our hostility towards God and God's hostility towards sin, we're at this impasse. That's why we then go to verse 13 where it says, but now, in Christ Jesus. This alienation that we sense, this alienation that we have with one another, this hostility that we have between each other because we don't get our way or we don't get what's important to us, and the hostility that God himself has towards sin is right here answered in this phrase, but now, in Christ Jesus. Now in Christ Jesus. As we go through this book, we've seen already many times the phrase in Christ. In Christ Jesus, we have the answer to this problem. We have a solution. We were far away, but we've been brought near. In Christ Jesus. Now, as we're recognizing this here, we're going to find this word peace is now showing up. First, we found out that we're alienated. Separated, we have no hope, we have no God. Because of Christ showing up, because of Christ in the picture here, we now have peace. Verse 14, for he is our peace. Jesus Christ is our peace. What's important as we recognize this peace, this end of hostilities here, is that this is relational. He is peace. Jesus Christ himself is the source of peace. He is peace. He embodies peace. In fact, the day before he went through all of the crucifixion, all the suffering there, he said, my peace, that moment, I give to you. Jesus Christ is our peace. So first of all, if we're going to overcome this alienation, if we're going to overcome this hostility, we have to recognize it's only in Christ Jesus, in our relationship with Him. He is our peace. Now the symbolism that goes on in verse 14, that He made both groups into one and destroyed this middle wall of partition. Hostility does that, builds these walls between us, walls that we can't overcome. And this is also just showing us an illustration that the Gentiles here were aware of about the temple itself. He's referring to this picture of what the temple was, where there's a court for the Gentiles with a wall of separation. On the other side was the court for the women. Then there was another wall, and then there was a court for the men. Then there was another wall, and you go into where sacrifices, and eventually you get into the holy place of all, Holy of Holies. But this wall of hostility between the Gentiles and this court of the women and the rest of the Jews had signs posted saying, as Gentiles, you cross this line, the penalty is death. In fact, when Paul was arrested in the book of Acts, they arrested him in that court of the women because they thought he brought a Gentile in. They were going to kill him because they thought he'd broken through this wall on his own. He brought a Gentile in. The Jews were ready to kill him for going through this wall of separation. But this verse then says, Christ is our peace, the one who made both groups, Gentiles and Jews, into one, and who destroyed the middle wall of partition. There's no longer a barrier between you and God. There's no longer a barrier between me and God. We know when Jesus Christ died on the cross that the temple veil was torn, the place that separated the Holy of Holies from the world. It destroyed the barriers outward from that as well. Between the priests and the people, between the men and the women, between the Jews and the Gentiles. God was destroying the barriers that were erected between us and Him. Destroying the walls that separated us from His presence. Walls that had been put there for a good reason. Because if we go to God on our own, we deserve death. God is holy. If we go through these walls thinking I can get there on my own, the penalty was death. But in Jesus, in relationship with Him, knowing Him, in Jesus, His walls, it says, are destroyed. The wall of partition, the wall of separation, is destroyed in Christ. He did this through the cross. He nullified in His flesh. So in His body, He died on the cross. The price was His blood. The price was His body being broken. But through Christ's death, it says He crucified hostility. He killed hostility. What a beautiful picture. Through His own death, He killed the hostility that existed. Jesus Christ died that there would be no more hostility. Hostility between us and God, and hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles. Jews who had to have laws to say, this is what it means for us to be holy, to be in relationship with God. And laws that God had saying, you must be holy to come into my presence. He destroyed the formal laws so that we, through relationship with Jesus Christ, could come directly to Him. It says in verse 15 that He did this to create in Himself one new man out of the two. One new species. One new creation, if you will. One new ethnicity. He did this so that there's no longer a separation between Jews and Gentiles. But now, and this is the mystery He's talking about in this whole book, there's the church. Christ is the head, we are His body. So in one body, one species, with Christ being the head, we have access to God. No longer Jews and Gentiles. There was only one cross that mattered in history, and Jesus Christ was on it. And through His body on the cross, He made peace. Through one body, He reconciled to God through the cross. He reconciled, He made peace with God. And our access to God is through this one cross. There's not room for two of us to come to Christ and get through side by side. There's only room for us individually in Christ to be one. Which means you and I are one body, We've heard that terminology before. We're one church, one body of believers. We're one with Christ himself. This is the mystery that was not understood in the Old Testament. The mystery of this new creation, this body, this church, that Christ himself leads. Christ makes us one with him. He did this to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and to reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by which he killed this hostility. So that through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. If you don't remember anything else, this is going to be key here. One, our peace. My peace with you, peace with my wife, my peace even with myself, is a byproduct of my peace with God. As important it is for me to get along with Gary, appreciate him. As important as for me to be at peace with everyone in this room and people in Macedonia, unless I have peace with God, I can't have peace with you. This is the source of peace. He is the source of our peace. Through Christ, we have access in one spirit to the Father. Coming to the Father requires us to be united. Go to God, talk to him. He's the one that cleanses our sins. He's the one that gives us that hope. Only as we're united and coming together is this possible. We have peace. The end of hostility, the end of alienation because of what Christ has done. Christ made peace through the cross. He is our peace. Relationally through him, he is our peace. And also Christ made peace through the cross. It cost him. It was his sacrifice. Allowed that to happen. And Christ also preached peace. He came and preached to you who are far off and peace to you who are near. When we talk about peace in this way, we recognize there is something informational about it, something transformational about it. Peace is offered. He preached it, it says. But what do we do with it? Peace of Christ is something that people have to respond to. Jesus claims to be our peace. He claims that he made the peace through his sacrifice, and then in preaching it, we're reminded that there's something you and I must do. Receive it. Accept it. Make it part of who we are. Make it part of our relationship that we have with others. It revolves around who Christ himself is. What he's done and what he's offering. Peace with God, peace with others around us, is through Jesus Christ. He is the source. So if we were this morning to summarize and pull out the key words in this whole section of verses, remember, being without hope and without God, but now, in Christ Jesus, peace and access in one spirit to the Father. Slide. These are the words that we pull out on these verses. Remember, we were alienated, we were hostile, but now, in Christ Jesus, peace. Access to one spirit, in one spirit, to the Father. We're looking at how to live our lives, how to get through the day-to-day, get through the mundane. And the question is, how many times do we find ourselves where the Gentiles used to be, without hope, without peace, without God? Do you see those ringing in your life? Do you see times in your life when that's happened? Without hope, without peace, without God? I think even as believers, we can find ourselves struggling in these areas if there's sin in our lives. I still remember 5 or 6 years ago, waking up in the middle of the night, panic-stricken, without breath, wondering, wow, if God would judge me right now for what I know is in my heart, I deserve everything that comes my way, everything to be taken away. without hope, panicking. But I wasn't without hope. Because in Christ I have forgiveness. Confession. Work through it to God. I have sinned. Take away the sin. I stand in Jesus Christ. Receive what he's done for me. So as believers, sin does interfere. It can take away the hope. It can take away the joy. It can take away this relationship that we have, this peace that we have with one another and with God. But even before that point, there might be some of you this morning that are saying, I've never experienced that peace. I've never experienced this relationship with God that we're talking about. That's why it's important we focus on that last point where it says Jesus preached peace. It's offered this morning to each one of us. If you don't have his peace, ask. We heard last week, reminded by Martin as he was preaching, that's by grace that we're saved through faith. It's not from us. So God gives us that grace. He forgives our sins as we ask and as we receive what he's done. And the result this week we're seeing is peace. He gives that peace. So don't leave today if peace is lacking in your life. It's offered. It's based on that relationship with Jesus Christ. It's based on what he has done. It's the byproduct of our relationship with God himself. The more I know God, the more he reveals himself to me, answer for that prayer. The more peace I have, the more peace I have to give, to share, to find in other people. So let's pray and ask that God helps us to apply this to our life. Father God, we need you. We looked this morning at a passage that deals with historical analogies and relationships with people in the past, yet we see ourselves here. We recognize that we are the ones that live our lives alienated from the people around us and from you. We live our lives hostile towards you and hostile towards people around us. God, we need you. We need you every hour of every day. We need you to open our eyes to what's going on so that we can recognize that you are ruling and reigning, that you bring peace. Pray this morning that you would help us to find this peace in relationship with Jesus Christ, that we would be one with him. Pray that we would find this peace, that because of Jesus, that we can have peace with the people around us. Help us as we wrestle through these relationships and find Christ in them. We need you, O God. Strengthen us and help us in Jesus' name.